This is Rediscover Life, a Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And we're continuing our series, The Cross is Enough. I want to read from John chapter 19, verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took their garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the mother of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, saw that he was already dead, did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Praise the Lord. You know, earlier in the chapter I read yesterday, John 19:5, then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, Behold the man. I find it strangely moving that someone who was a pagan, who was in darkness, who was a hardened Roman governor, and you didn't get to where you were without being an extremely tough, hard individual. And yet in spite of this, he cries out, Behold the man, after Jesus is scourged. Behold the man, saying, you know, surely this is enough. But it wasn't enough. The cross is enough, because it was there the price was paid. And so when your eyes are open to the cross, it changes everything. Again, when you get this, like I said, it changes everything. And until you do, it changes nothing. Because when you have a revelation of what Christ accomplished at the cross, your life will never be the same again. Mountains will move, giants will fall, demons will flee, and you will walk in freedom and victory. And most importantly, you will come to a deeper place of love and appreciation for Christ our Savior. And this is why Paul declared in Galatians 6:14, But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. You see, our strengths, talents, gifts, and accomplishments mean absolutely nothing when we look at the cross. Both the praise of man and the fear of man lose their grip on our soul as we stand at the foot of the cross. Because at the cross we die that he may live in us. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our ideas, agendas, ambitions, and plans all fall away. The cross is enough. There is no room for our pride or our fleshy plans. At the cross, we become nothing, that Christ may become everything. And this is why we need to come back to the cross at a time where we see apostasy, rebellion, lies and perversion being embraced and endorsed by many in our society and even in the church. It's a sign that we need to come back to the cross. For the cross speaks of obedience, humility, sacrifice, service and suffering. The cross makes it clear that we are called to suffer in his service. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. At the cross, our hearts are changed and our eyes are opened. J.C. Ryle, take away the cross of Christ and the Bible is a dark book. We looked last week at how the Son of God was sacrificed. Christ sacrificed himself to do the Father's will. And we see this in Mark chapter 14 and verse 32 to 36. Then they came to the place that was called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." You see, Christ sacrificed himself to do the Father's will. And verse 39, again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. So again, Jesus sacrificed himself to the Father's will. He even sacrificed his reputation by accepting the death of a criminal hanging as an accursed man on the cross. This is why, again, when we have a cross around our neck, we just have a plain cross. We don't have Jesus on the cross because really when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was an accursed man. He was bearing our curse. He became the curse for us. And, you know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." This is why the book of Galatians talks about the scandal of the cross. It was a scandalous death. It was only the lowest of the low that were hung on a cross. And so again, a man who was hung on a tree in the Old Testament was declared to be cursed. Galatians 3:13 and 14, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." It's ironic that a place of such darkness could bring such light, and a place of curse, blessing to all mankind. The cross speaks of sacrifice. Christ sacrificed his all for us, and we must give our all for him. And so stop making excuses. "Pastor, I would witness, but I might be seen by my friends. I would tithe, but I might have less to spend. I would serve, but I have things to do, places to go, Instagram videos to make." Let me say this. I love you, but nobody cares about what you had for lunch. Seriously, just eat the meal and enjoy the moment. We are so obsessed with recording life that we're missing it. And just be present in the moment. Enjoy the moment. 1 John 4 and verse 10, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Never forget the sacrifice of the cross. Amen. The cross is proof that we are loved by God. "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You see, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross is everlasting proof that God loves you. We need never again ask God if he loves us. I look at the cross and I'm reminded that I matter. I look at the cross and I'm reminded that I'm loved, that there's a God who sees me, who loves me, who knows me, and who's called me. Christ was sacrificed and we were saved. Christ suffered and we were set free. His pain purchased our pardon. Just take a moment today to just give him the praise and the glory. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you so much for the price you paid. Thank you so much that you were sacrificed in our place. In Jesus' wonderful name. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here in UCB Ireland as we continue our series on The Cross Is Enough. Shalom.